Last week, we started our message talking about the idea of starting a new year for a new outlook. The only way we could do that, we said last week, was to forgive others when they trespass against us and to forgive ourselves. I can't tell you how many Christians I know that say, I know God's forgiven me, but I just can't forgive myself. Folks, you can't stay like that. The Lord does receive you just as you are, but he does not want us to stay as we are. He wants us to move forward. So today I want to talk to you again about the power now to forgive. How can you get the strength to forgive someone that's hurt you so deeply? Because we do hurt each other. People hurt me, and from time to time, as much as I try not to, I hurt people. How do we move forward from that? Because this is extremely important. I want to start out reading Ephesians chapter 4, starting at verse 29. If you'll stand, we're going to honor God and we'll get into his word here. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you're sealed for the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other just as in Christ God forgave you. Father, as we try to put this into practice, we pray, Lord, that you'll show us the steps today that each one of us must make to start a new year in a new way. And Father, we're going to give you the praise in Jesus' holy name. Amen. You may be seated. All of us need power to forgive somebody else. Forgiveness is not a natural trait. Forgiveness from the heart is a God-given trait. And you're going to need the Lord Jesus Christ helping you to forgive. And you're going to have to learn how to pray to ask others to forgive you and ask the Lord to work in their heart. So number one, if you're going to be healed of past hurts, and we all need it, you're going to have to reveal your hurt. So many people, they're hurt right to the quick. They're hurt as bad as you can hurt. And they say they want to hide it. That didn't hurt me at all. You can't hurt me. Well, folks, you can be hurt. The old saying is what? Sticks and stones may break my bones, but names will never hurt me. Names can hurt. And those hurts can last literally a lifetime if you let them. In order to be healed, the hurt must be revealed. Revealed first to yourself. Ignoring it won't do one bit of good. All it does is represses that emotion, and it's going to come out at the worst time in the worst way. You don't want to repress your emotions. You want the Lord to control them, but you want to confess. What you did, what somebody did, hurt me to the quick. I advise you with all my heart, when you're really hurt, sit down with a pad of paper and write down exactly what was said, exactly what caused it, exactly how bad it hurt you, and then confess that to the Lord. Let him know, this is where I am, Lord. I am brokenhearted over my situation. This has caused me extreme pain. And Lord, here's the pain. It's real. Folks, you've got to get it out in the open, in your own heart. Don't repress it. Confess it. Confess it to the Lord, and if the Lord allows, confess it to the person that hurt you. We're going to talk more about that in just a minute. But you've got to accept the fact that I am hurt, and I am hurt deeply. Number two. If you're going to move past in this new year, you've got to learn how to release your offender. You've got to learn how to say to that person, if you can, Sometimes the person that hurt you is dead now. You may have been hurt by a father or a mother years ago as a little child. They're gone. You can't confess it to them, but you can confess it to the Lord. There are other times that confessing to somebody else how they hurt you is going to make it worse. There are times to confront, and there's times to be silent. You have to discern the difference. But you have to learn how to release that person. You don't want to be controlled by the hurt of the past. And many people are controlled by things that happened 20 years ago to them. They're not free to move forward because they're still carrying the load on their shoulders. And the Lord doesn't want it that way. Jesus said forgiving others is not a one-time deal. Sometimes we forgive somebody the best we can from our heart, and we think, okay, that's it, that's done. But then, like any kind of grief, if you are familiar with grief, grief comes in waves. You're out there, and it's a sunny day on the beach, and you think everything's just perfect. I've forgiven the person. I'm not carrying a burden. All at once, whoosh, that wave hits you. Folks, that's not you being angry again. That's the fact that life, we can forgive, but we can't forget. We can't. It's there. It hurt. When that wave hits you, what do you do? Lord, I really thought I had forgiven. I thought it was done. Corrie Ten Boom, some of you remember the name. Corrie Ten Boom was a prisoner of war in the Second World War in the Nazi prison camp. Her older sister was killed in the camp. Her parents died in the camp. Corrie Ten Boom came out with a lot of bitterness. She was a Christian. But that hurts when you see people mistreating yourself. Corrie went to a pastor after the war, and she said, Pastor, as far as I know, I've totally forgiven from my heart all that was done wrong to me. But all at once, the bell starts ringing again, and all that comes back. And the pastor said, Corrie, when I go outside this church and I get a hold of the rope on the bell and I ring it, it rings as long as I do what? As long as I hang on to the rope and keep pulling. He said, Corrie, stop pulling. Let go of the rope. It'll ding and dong a few more times, but eventually it's going to stop. When that wave comes upon you again, and it will, I can tell you that, it's gonna. Just don't grab the rope. It'll ring just a couple times, and it'll be gone. And later on, it's going to ring maybe one time, and it'll be gone. And sooner or later, you're going to be completely free of it, and it won't bother you anymore. I just want to encourage you in this, because Peter, it says in Matthew 18, verse 21, then Peter came to Jesus and asked, Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother or sister who sins against me? Up to seven times? And Peter said, man, that'd be awful big of me if I forgive him seven times for that same thing. But Jesus answered, I tell you, not seven times, but 77 times. The King James says 70 times seven times, 490 times. What the Lord is saying is, we have to forgive others no matter how many times they sin against us. Now, as we're talking about this, I just want to tell you, the Lord does not expect you to put yourself back in harmful situations. We forgive people what they've done, but we don't rush back for more. You have to know how to put boundaries in your life. If somebody's constantly crossing your boundary and you've made it extremely clear to them, this is a boundary in my life, I don't let anybody cross this point, and they're bound determined they're going to do to it, you separate away. The Lord had several people in the scriptures that he said, separate from them. Don't have any fellowship with them. And sometimes in your life, you're going to have to come to that. This person does not want to live in harmony with me at all. So, I'm going to forgive them, but I'm not going to go along with them. I'm not going to fellowship with them. It just saves you more and more and more pain. It doesn't mean you're angry with them. It doesn't mean you hate them. It's just that all the time they're crossing your boundaries. The Lord is not asking you to be a walking mat, to constantly put yourself in harm's way. He is asking you to forgive others and let them go on their way. Let God deal with them and not you any longer. It's very important you understand to be able to forget something, you can't get rid of that thought, but God can in his time. He can take it totally away. So how do I release somebody that's hurt me deeply? Sometimes you can go to that person, if they're willing to listen, and you can tell them exactly what you wrote in your note to the Lord, how badly it hurt, what they said, what they did, and release them face to face. And that's a wonderful thing if you can do it, if you think that person will respond properly at all. There are other times they're not going to do it. You know in your heart they're not going to accept your forgiveness. They don't want to hear from you. They don't want nothing to do with you. Then you use what's called the empty chair method. You sit down at a table and you put a chair opposite the table of you, and you tell the person how they hurt you. You tell them that it's maybe partly my fault, maybe mostly my fault, I don't know, but I'm totally releasing you and forgiving you. And you leave it there. You may never talk to that person at all, but the grace of God will free you. In Colossians 3:15, it says, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, such as members of one body you were called to peace, and be thankful. The Lord does not stay angry with his people forever. When a person honestly confesses their sin, honestly gets right with the Lord, whether it's a person or a group of people or a nation, the Lord forgives. And we have to be willing to do the same thing. The peace of Christ is God's peace, not man's peace. It's so important we understand. You might say, Pastor Jerry, this is crazy, because if I forgive that person what they've hurt me, and you don't know how badly they've hurt me, they're going to get away with it. Do you know God says exactly the opposite? He says, if you will forgive them, I'll go to work on them. Let me ask you, are you better at God than getting even with somebody for what they've done? I know I'm not. God can really take hold of that person. God can change their heart. I can't. God can correct everything in their life if they'll allow him. But if they won't, that's their choice. I don't know if you realize this or not, but you can't live their life. You can't live it for them. You can tell them that you care for them. You can tell them that you've forgiven them. You can tell them, if you want to walk with me in the way that I can walk, we can have fellowship. But you can't change them. They have to do that. They have to turn to the Lord themselves. And so our responsibility is to forgive and not to hold grudges, to turn it over to the Lord and let the Lord do what only he can do. One of the reasons hell makes sense to me, and you say, Pastor, you believe in hell, the lake of fire? I sure do. You might say, why do you believe it? Because Jesus spoke more about hell than he did about heaven. In fact, Jesus spoke more about the lake of fire than any other person in the Bible. Why did he do that? Because he wants us to know that our God is a just God. People don't get away with anything. God says what you reap or what you sow, you are going to reap. God can forgive the sin, but they're going to reap what they've sown. And so God will get even. We don't have to get even. We don't have to carry it. We want the peace of God. Here's what God promises you if you will learn to turn this anger, this bitterness over to him. In Romans chapter 12, verse 17, he says, do not repay anyone evil with evil. Be careful to do what's right in the eyes of everyone. If it's possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Do not take revenge, my dear friends, but leave room for God's wrath. What kind of God do we serve? Do we serve a God that has some wrath? Oh, man, I want to tell you, God has wrath. I don't want to be in the midst of that. Do not take revenge, my dear friends, but leave room for God's wrath. For it is written, it is mine to avenge, I will repay, says the Lord. On the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you'll heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. I want to talk to you about the peace that forgiveness brings, because when you can forgive from your heart, that's when the peace of God will flood your soul. This is extremely important. Our Lord wants us to know the purpose of forgiveness, the power of forgiveness, and now the peace that forgiveness brings. If you've got somebody you've been angry with a long, long time, you haven't experienced peace in a long, long time. Our anger prevents God's peace in our hearts. In Hebrews chapter 12, verse 14, it says, make every effort to live in peace with everyone and to be holy. Without holiness, no one will see the Lord. See to it that no one falls short of the grace of God and that no bitter root grows up to cause trouble and defile many. That's why forgiveness from our heart is so important. Whether you know it or not, as a Christian, Satan has no power over your life or mine unless we give it to him. It's choices that we make that give Satan power in a Christian's life. The Bible calls it a foothold. When you hang on to anger, when it goes beyond the setting of the sun, in other words, somebody hurt you, if they hurt you after sunset, you've got till next sunset to deal with this thing and be done with it. If you're not done by then, the peace of God is going to depart from you, because you can't have anger and peace in your heart. God can do that. I can't do that. We have to deal with it. The Lord says before the sun sets, somebody's hurt you, you've got 24 hours to deal with this thing, is basically what he's saying. Because if you go beyond that, you've given Satan a foothold. Have you ever seen little children climbing a rock wall? They've got those rocks just far enough where a little leg can reach out and get a foothold. If those little knobs weren't on there, that child could never climb that wall. And Satan's exactly the same way. Our anger are those little knobs. Somebody hurt me here, somebody hurt me here, somebody hurt me here. And I've got them all in my heart. You've just given the devil a foothold. He's using you. And it doesn't have to be that way. You can get rid of the knobs. Every time you forgive somebody, Satan doesn't have another foothold in your life. The interesting thing is, you might say, well, Pastor, my anger only affects me. That's not what the Bible says at all. The Bible says when you give the devil a foothold, that's not going to just affect you. It's going to affect everybody around you. Have you seen bitter people? How they treat their wife, their husband, their children? They're bitter at Uncle Joe, something that happened 50 years ago. But they're taking it out on the people they're with, because they don't have joy. They don't have peace. And if you don't have joy and you don't have peace, guess what? You can't give it to anybody else. You can't spread what you don't have. What you have is bitterness and anger in your heart, and that's what you're spreading to everybody you know. And Satan is having a field day. You think, I'm in charge. No, you're not. When you're walking in that kind of anger, you do not. So we not only have to learn how to forgive others, we have to confess to others when we hurt them. And you might say, well, Pastor, what kind of things would I have ever done that hurt anybody? Glad you asked. Let me give you just a little list of things that you might think about. Is this a possibility in my life? Is there anybody you've ever broken a promise to? When you give your word to somebody, can they count on you? If not, you need to make that right. Is there anybody you've ever lied to? If there is, you need to make it right. You need to tell them, I'm really sorry. I told you something knowing full well I was not going to do that. Now, if it's something you couldn't do because of life, that's not a lie. You just told somebody you'd tried to be the ball game, but you couldn't make it because of X, Y, or Z. But if you told somebody I'll be at the ball game and you knew you weren't going to be, guess what? That's a lie. Okay, you need to make it right. Is there anybody you owe money to? and you haven't paid him or even made an attempt to pay him, guess what? You need to make it right as best you can. Don't just let that slide. That's not right. Is there anybody you are overly possessive of? Somebody whose life you're trying to control. Folks, you've got to make that right. There's only one person that should be in charge of anybody you know, and that one person is not you. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. Not you, not me. I don't possess any people. There are people that I love dearly, but I'm not in charge of their life. I'm not to make the decisions for them unless they're my little children, and then I do it to teach them so that they can start making their own. Anybody you've ever been verbally or physically abusive to in your life? Those are things that might take you back a few years, but if they see one, if the Lord reveals one, you have to forgive, because if you don't, you're carrying that burden. And they're not praying for you to be healed. They're praying for you to come to your senses. Lord, slap some sense into that person. Help them to be different. And so all these things you can look at and say, you know, I need to make that right with those people. I need to go backwards in my life and try to clean up the messes that I've made. How do you do it? You know, there's some real important steps here. If there's somebody you have hurt, how do you do it? The Lord gives us some really good advice in Matthew 7, verse 12, of how you can make it right with someone else. He says, so in everything, do to others what you'd have them do to you. For this sums up the law and the prophets. So I want to give you three suggestions of how to make things right with others that you have hurt. Because everybody in this room, I can guarantee you, from time to time in your life, you hurt somebody. And sometimes you hurt them badly. So here we go. Number one, if you want to get right with somebody and you want to make it right, would you want somebody to walk up to you, somebody that has hurt you maybe 10 years ago, and they want to make things right with you, and they come at the worst possible time? You're with your family, you got all your kids around, you got your husband, your wife, and they want to come up, and in front of everybody, they want to make everything right with you. Folks, there's a time and a place for everything. Think how you would want to be approached if your dad, your mother, your friend, your neighbor had wronged you and now they want to make it right. This is a private thing, as private as possible. This should be one-on-one. You need to make an appointment for this. They need to know that you're coming and your purpose. And if they want it, then go ahead. But don't go in the middle and try to make a big show of this. Number two, don't go and tell them, I want you to forgive me, but it was 99.9% your problem in the first place. Folks, when we approach people for forgiveness and restoration, we go with truth and we go with love. You can't get out of balance on either one. There has to be a balance of truth and love. And it has to be, again, as private as it can possibly be. Number three, ask yourself, is it appropriate what I want to do? Folks, there are people whose presence you should probably not be in again the rest of your life. I'll just give you one example. You've gone through a messy divorce. You're now remarried. You want forgiveness, or you want your wife, ex-husband, to know how much you want their forgiveness. Folks, when you're going backwards and you're married to somebody else and you're going back into that situation, better to use the empty chair method or writing a letter that you never mail? Husbands and wives, you know, just like we say our Lord is jealous, we do serve a jealous God. He wants to be number one in your life all the time. When you marry, your mate wants to be number one in your life. Don't get too involved with ex-mates and ex-exes because it's going to lead to some trouble. Sometimes you have to do it without a person to person. Be careful here. Sometimes you can do it, but some of these situations people put themselves into are not good. In Proverbs 12, verse 18, It says, the words of the reckless pierce like swords. Sometimes, even as you're trying to make peace, your words can actually cut a bigger gouge. You need to be careful in the words you pick. But the tongue of the wise brings healing. You're there to restore a relationship. You're there for forgiveness. Don't make it worse. We talked last week a little bit about newspapers, how sometimes their retractions and corrections make things actually worse than the original wrong story. Be careful. Zacchaeus, some of us remember the little story about Zacchaeus, was a wee little man. A wee little man was he, climbed up in a sycamore tree for the Lord he wanted to see. Well, Zacchaeus was a tax collector. He was hated by the Jews because the tax collectors, Jewish people, were collecting taxes for Rome, and they were perfectly legitimate to do that. But after they would collect the tax, they would always tack a little bit on. Because anything they got beyond what the nation of Rome wanted, they got to keep. Zacchaeus was such a man, but when Zacchaeus met the Lord, he said, Lord, if I've cheated anybody, I'm going to give them back four times as much as I cheated him. A changed heart. When we get right with the Lord, our heart changes. We need to focus our life on what the Bible says about these things. In Job chapter 11, verse 13, yet if you devote your heart to him and stretch out your hands to him, if you put away the sin that is in your hand and allow no evil to dwell in your tent, then, free of fault, you'll lift up your face, you'll stand firm and without fear. You'll surely forget your trouble, recalling it only as waters gone by. Life will be brighter than noonday, and darkness will become like morning. You will be secure because there is hope. You'll look about you and take your rest in safety. What the Lord is saying is, remember the story about the man that had the demons cast out? And the demons went about looking around for a place to go? And they couldn't find a place to stay, so they went back to the original man that they had possessed, and they found his house clean and empty. What happened then? They went and got seven more demons, worse than themselves, and they all came into that man. When you forgive somebody, when somebody has forgiven you, you've got to fill the house. You've got to make sure that you're full of the Spirit of God, because if you're not, it's going to get worse. You can clean house, but you have to have something in the house. And that something is a living relationship with Jesus Christ. I've made my heart right, Lord. I'm now ready for you. And then Isaiah 26, verse 3 comes true in our lives. You will keep in perfect peace those whose minds are steadfast because they trust in you. Trust in the Lord forever, for the Lord himself is the rock eternal. I can't encourage you enough. Get your life right with others, but don't just stop there. Move forward in your relationship with Jesus Christ. Fill your heart with that relationship, and then everything's going to be right for you until the next time, because there will be a next time. I hope you understand, in this world, you and I are going to have trouble all the way through it.